You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. And good morning to, it's a beautiful Monday morning in May.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood. Yeah, in the whole neighborhood. Beautiful, even though it's a little rainy, a little overcast. We need the rain. Yeah. You look at my front lawn and we need the rain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, even the bugs are complaining. You know, I go out to get in my car this morning. They're all, you know, shaking their fists at me.
They're bugging you.
They're bugging me. Yeah, thank. I can always count on you, Ed, for that. So as we get started, we have a great guest today, and we'll get to him in a moment, but I have to introduce, I don't know if the FCC requires it, but I do, introduce my wonderful co-hosts, without whom this program wouldn't be as substantial as it is. I'm going to start with one of the most venerable people I know, my brother, Ed Skiba, good morning.
You just got to push the venerable part.
Yeah,
he's just telling everybody how old
I am. Yeah, I know he is.
But don't you understand, what is the root, the word veneration comes from that. And, you know, there's something that doesn't happen much in our culture today. People in our age, now I'm a little younger than you, but not by a whole lot. But older people, hopefully we should be wise and all of that and have things to offer.
Uh-huh.
But our elderly in our culture is really not appreciated entirely, and you know, and I, not that I personally need that, you know, God's got me and he's blessing me, and I, you know, but it's something a lot of cultures in the world, you know, they venerate their elderly because of the wisdom of living that they bring. So anyway,
thank you very much.
When I say venerable, I mean that in the best possible way.
It's another beautiful South Florida morning.
Yes, it is.
David, I think I'm convinced that you were vaccinated with a phonograph needle and you swallowed a dictionary.
Right.
I'm sure.
You know, I didn't have, in seminary, I didn't have too much trouble preaching because I was already talking a lot anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
So.
And we love you for it.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll kind of move on to Anne Limhoko. Yeah. Good morning, Anne.
The rose among thorns.
Yes, truly. Yeah.
I just want to say it's blessed to be alive. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
I was even saying that as I was driving here and couldn't even see in front of me because it was raining really hard. But no, we really do need this rain.
Mm-hmm.
We really do need this rain.
And I know in a heavy rain, you can't see in front of you, but you kind of know where you're going because of all the sounds of hitting other cars,
so.
You know. We don't want that to happen. But yeah, I hear you. And it's always a pleasure to hear that because we need to celebrate.
We do.
Our whole life. Mm-hmm. God has given. I didn't give this to myself. God made us.
Mm-hmm.
He made everything.
Amen.
You know, and everything belongs to him, by the way.
And every breath he gives us.
Every breath he gives us. Amen. Well, we have a guest today. If you've been a long-term listener to WCNO in this program, in fact, we're celebrating because our guest, when this program was the first program we ever did, Jonathan Dobbs was our first guest
to
this program.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Absolutely. I think we've been on the air, 3 years,
yep.
Something like that. So it's been a while.
Wow.
And from time to time, we've had Jonathan come back. And so I was delighted when the Lord opened the door, Jonathan, for you to be with us today.
Amen.
We celebrate here at WCNO and ourselves personally the work of first responders and the military because of the particular calling that God's given you, and that we're so thankful for those that are willing to say, yes, here I am, Lord, send me. And you're one of those, Jonathan. And Jonathan was in the military. Whether you share that part of your history with us is up to you, but Jonathan has been involved with a ministry entitled Walking with Warriors, where the ministry is to first responders and military, active duty and retired, and all the first responders you can possibly think of. And it's a powerful, wondrous ministry. And I know Jonathan's going to talk about that, but I first just want to say, Jonathan, welcome to to WCNO and to the front line. It's good to have you back with us, brother.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate it. And even though I know y'all were kidding in the beginning, one of the things I would say is a time-held tradition in the military is mentorship. Mm-hmm. And being able to get mentorship and wisdom mm-hmm. and understanding from people who know more about life and, in this case, mm-hmm. also God's Word and the principles in His Word. And I've received a lot of that through my father-in-law, Frank Bragg, Colonel mm-hmm, retired, mm-hmm. and he's been on Amen. Your show.
Yes.
And I can't tell you, every week we're together multiple times in prayer.
Wow.
And also some of the best discussions you can imagine, hearing about all of the things he's done in life and in ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's how you gain wisdom for living, mm-hmm. for life, Amen. As a husband, father, wife, mother, mm-hmm. you know, person of God. You know, that's the important Amen. Stuff because yeah. That's actually very important to the work we do with Walking with Warriors. It's about character building. Mm-hmm. It's about leadership development. Mm-hmm. It's also about warrior care and helping people get from point A to point B, because sometimes it's not always real clear how we get there.
Yep.
And so my ministry, just to give a summary for those who haven't heard it, it's basically we come alongside high-risk public servants, so police, fire and rescue, sheriff's office, and the military, all branches, and it's to help them in their calling.
Mm-hmm.
Just about every unit has a mission, right?
Yes.
And so we want... our opinion is that Martin County is a great place to live. Mm-hmm. Many mm-hmm. of our first responders, they touch just about everything in the county. And if we can benefit them, their mm-hmm. marriage, their family, their leadership development, or some aspect of what they do, this county is going to continue to be a great county for years to come.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Whether we're extending a care package or doing some type of counseling or marriage care or whatever it is, I can't tell you how many times I've been in the back of a fire truck or a police squad car mm-hmm. talking to a man about how to mentor their kids, mm-hmm. how to love on their mm-hmm. wife, mm-hmm. how to pray,
yeah.
Or how to explore faith. Maybe they don't believe in God at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this is some of the work we get a chance to do.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, and it really, the corollary out of the church, the work of the church is discipleship. Because mm-hmm. what you're doing is discipleship training and bringing that to those to whom you are sent.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the work, this is mission work. Mm-hmm. And yeah. these mm-hmm. are the people that I feel like, you know, I relate to. But mm-hmm. for each of your listeners and you guys yourselves, mm-hmm. you have a different sphere of influence.
That's yeah. right.
There's people, David, that you talk to every day and Ed that you talk to, you know. And, you know, remind me your first name again.
Ann.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's
and,
okay.
And Ann. I'm never going to touch those people
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have the ability, and we have lots of opportunities each day to mm-hmm. be intentional with the gospel or with our witness.
Yes.
Amen.
And sometimes we just don't see it. And so really it's just asking God to help me to see it so that I can be intentional.
Amen.
Cause I may Amen. Not see them saved, but I might get them one step closer to Jesus.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Does that make sense?
It yeah. does. Absolutely. And the steps we take out of the waters of baptism,
yep.
begin our missionary life. We are missional.
Amen.
We are yep. called to share Christ
yep. yes.
in
yes.
the various yeah. multitude of ways that we're able
yeah.
to the world.
Yeah.
And you don't have to see people saved. The word says, I plant, Apollos waters.
Yep.
God brings the harvest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's right. And a lot of this, and you'll understand this because you're a chaplain, you know, mm-hmm. is a lot of what we bring is the ministry of presence.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're there mm-hmm. when people have hard times. You know, this last week, even in my own church, I was mm-hmm. Unfortunately at St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. Several families had a hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just being present. So this is not just about high-risk public servants. This is about families that live in the Treasure Coast.
Yes.
We want to reach every family if we can. And so so it's just sometimes teaching churches mm-hmm. or individuals how to have an entry strategy. Our entry strategy is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
How
yes.
to share the gospel in a clear way, how to share a testimony in a clear way, and then get into a conversation about Jesus
mm-hmm.
in the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's where discipleship
yeah.
starts.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're just looking for, as we get our eyes out, we're looking around, we're looking for willing participants.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what we're looking for.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Yes.
And I'm not looking to frustrate people, but
nope.
looking for those who are interested.
Yep.
And this is, but this is where God puts us out there. The Spirit does lead us too,
Amen.
To those environments we can share Christ.
But we want to be a blessing to all.
We do.
That's right.
Although I've had my own experience, and we all in this room have some experience of sharing Christ with others, that where immediately it wasn't well received by the other person.
Yep.
And it's not because God didn't send me out, as you say, to frustrate somebody.
Right.
But I do know, and I think we all should know, that when we're purveyors of the gospel, when we're sharing, sometimes that truth really slams against a person's, what they know to be their own sin life. They know what they're doing because they're under conviction.
Right.
We're not coming to bringing condemnation. We're bringing the truth of God to turn them around. But the initial response sometimes is not favorable to the word of God.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had an individual, I'll just say it that way, keep it neutral, in the last 30 days. I was out doing a ride-along, and they were very much not, you know, follower of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I run into a lot of folks like that. But they communicated that very clearly to me very early in our conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with Warrior Care, I talked to people about their mental fitness.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to them about their social fitness. So who are the people of character that are in their life that see their life and hold them accountable to their core values, right? But then also I talked to them about their physical fitness. This person was squared away, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But then spiritual fitness, and that's where they kind of balked. But I said, you know, we're all going to enter brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does at some point. Mm-hmm. And when you have spiritual fitness, what this does is it anchors us in. It anchors us specifically when we enter brokenness so that, you know, we don't have the thrash, the trauma much. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go through hard things, and it doesn't make it any better.
Mm-hmm.
But we have somebody with us in the fight.
Amen.
And that's the promise of the gospel of Jesus, right?
Amen. Yes.
And many of them don't understand until they begin to explore. So that's one of the things I invite people to, is put on their hiking boots and get a walking stick.
Amen.
Do some exploring. I didn't say you've got to believe things like I do.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the people that I run into, they may have a view of Darwinian evolution, or maybe they have been reading Nietzsche, or they just don't generally agree with some of my core values. And I'd say, that's fine. You don't have to believe what I believe. But let's see what God's word says, and let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear your perspective, and sometimes they take me up on it.
Good.
And that opens a door.
It can.
And then you can conversationally enter into that.
It can.
Yeah. That's critical. Let me ask you, and again, we've had the blessing and the great privilege of having people who do ministry to first responders and military over time. And so when we have that opportunity, as we do with you, people need to be reminded of the special needs of first responders. And we know we have to include military because we know all the time. What is the mission of our military is to be sent to places that are very difficult.
Yeah.
Like right now in Iran,
right.
We have a military presence and we don't know how that's going to be ramped up or de-escalate. We don't know any of that, but we know right now those people they're on the front line.
Right.
And they're prepared to do what they were trained to do. And there is, by the way, I'm going to throw this in, their mission is critical for the safety of not just America.
Absolutely.
That's right.
But other nations in the Middle East, and frankly, let's be honest, anywhere a ballistic missile can go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is important. But so that first responders don't have experiences entirely like we do. Right, they have to run toward the issues. They have to run right to face the dangers. That creates an emotional and spiritual challenge for them. Would you talk to that a little bit?
Sure. I think one of the things that has helped me over the last 3 years is really just a lot of prayer and going on ride-alongs, just going and seeing what they do, making sure they know that I appreciate and respect what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be really easy to deal with. Like, I try to be very accommodating. If things change, cool. If things change, great.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, when I can tell they're having a bad day, I'm not over there just asking lots of questions to frustrate them either.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's a lot of change. I call it thrash that happens with, you know, a fire rescue guy or a police or sheriff's office, you know, or even the military. Because, I'll use military, for example, because I lived it. You know, in a 2-year period, you get an assignment. Within 2 years, you're going to probably go to a school. You're probably going to, in 2 years, go through a major exercise that's graded by higher command.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to have at least the opportunity to deploy. And you're supposed to somewhere in there do your job, your normal job, and be a husband and father, mother and wife, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's challenging because everything's kind of in a blender sometimes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, your fire rescue guys, they're, you know, on shift for 24 hours. Many times these individuals don't sleep, and they're going call after call after call.
Yep.
And some of those calls are really, really hard to see. They really are. Mm. I've been on the scene, you know, right here in the Treasure Coast. And we just need to have a high level of respect and appreciation for the things that, you know, our fire rescue and our police officers and our military members do.
Absolutely.
Even if you've never been with them, because they hold a level of stress that's really high there. And so prayer is something we can do no matter where we're at, also words of appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you're in a church, you know, you probably have some of these folks in your church,
mm-hmm.
asking them, hey, how can we be a blessing to you guys? And just start there, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you're the lowest person in one of these units or the highest.
Mm-hmm.
If people know you appreciate them, it goes a long way. And all of these units have some person who's on their staff, and it's their job to relate to the downtown community.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not let it be a person of faith or a community of faith that makes it a blessing or whatever they got to do?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's going to be needs. You know, there's going to be things that can be, you know, help them with. You know, I'm not saying that you can go maybe pay for a building or anything. That's not what I mean. That's a big ask. But,
that's a big ask. Yeah.
But there may be things that can really help that particular fire station or police station. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when they know the community is for them, man, it makes them really appreciate going to work sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
Especially in an environment where they're knocking police. You know what I mean? Like, you have the left that's knocking the police and not appreciating our officers, you know, that movement that's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why whenever I see somebody in uniform, I say thank you for your service all the time.
Good. Yeah.
Or maybe I don't do this, but people pick up bills at restaurants for police officers, or military or whatever. So,
yeah. And I would say I've had a lot of people say that to me as a military member. And I really do appreciate it when people do that.
Yep.
But also think about this in terms of, you know, being a woman or a man.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody uses a little different language, hey, I just want you to know I appreciate you. And then pause for what you do. You know, around here, it's really, I mean, I do appreciate your service, but just coming to work, making sure that we're safe. Because, like, you know, when we're sleeping in Stewart or Palm City or in Jensen Beach, wherever we happen to be, there's somebody on duty while we're sleeping.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if an emergency happens at the house next to mine, somebody will show up.
Somebody show up.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's their job.
Yeah.
And that's either going to be a good job or it's going to be a rough job on that particular hour, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I think that this is an opportunity. But then also, sometimes there's people in our community that aren't high-risk public servants.
Mm-hmm.
I try to reach out to them as well. So it's just about neighbors. Mm-hmm. Family and friends. So, you know, this is mission work in that regard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I love when people say, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, I heard a guy say something that really touched my heart. When someone says to me now, thank you for your service, my response usually is, you're welcome. You're worth it.
Yeah.
Mm.
And just that you're worth it.
That's awesome.
Really.
Wow.
You can see the, wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You can see the way it lights them up.
Yeah.
Well, I think more than anything, y'all know this, but God is with us in this journey. And he can actually change. The way my wife says this is he can wow us. He
can wow us. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we're in a season right now. For the first 3 years, it was really a lot of time with prayer, and we're still praying. But we're seeing a lot, like this week alone. I think we've seen 5 baptisms just in our little, you know, gathering of groups.
Beautiful.
And, you know, men and one lady. And I think more than anything, it's just God chooses to save people when he will. But it's really neat to watch him show off.
Yep.
Does that make sense? Yes,
very much so.
You know, getting, and we have, you know, a new group of men. Several are first responders. And we're trying to pour into these guys to be men of character.
Yes.
My daughter, she has a group that's for women.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
and just, you know, pouring into those ladies.
Yeah.
And and so we all can do something as part of the kingdom, you know. And it may or may not be for high-risk public service. But I want to – that's my focus. Does that make sense? Just like when I was in another place, I had a focus on either Muslims or Hindus or something. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have a focus. But that doesn't mean that's all you do, right? Right.
I like to tell my folks, that little congregation I've got out there in Indian Town, I challenge them all the time to share Jesus with just one person, just one. That's all you got to do, because that one can go beyond your imagination.
Yeah.
Said it's not like the number of seeds in an apple. It's like the number of apples in a seed. Think about that. It's just exponential. Yeah. And I tell them that that's all they've got to do is live what they profess to believe. That's the hardest thing for Christians to do. They don't have to go thumping anybody in the head with a Bible.
No.
Exactly what you're doing, Jonathan. You adapt to where the person is at, and then you lead them to the spiritual aspect of where they're at. And that's beautiful. That's exactly what we need to do.
You know, I call it relational evangelism.
Absolutely.
Like back
Absolutely.
When I was growing up as a kid, you had Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans Road, you had the tracts and whatnot.
Yep. Yep.
But what I do is I just relate to them. Yeah. I show that I care.
There you go.
You know, my journalism always asks all the questions. But then the spirit, they sense something's different, and then it opens it up to other questions.
Absolutely.
Like with the spinning class I told you. I have three teachers now come into a spinning class where the presence of God falls on Thursday nights, FLX 33.
You get a lot of politicians in that class? Just curious.
I'm working on that with my tea party,
That's funny.
But just relating and then showing how much you love them and you care for them, asking them questions.
See, and that's basically what chaplaincy is about, what he's doing, what I do, is just relate to people.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as we, like any of us could go down, you know, we're in a central area where there's neighborhoods in this where this radio program is. We could go knock on 50 doors, and I don't know what the outcome would be to share the gospel with them. But a more efficient way is to prayer through the neighborhood for a season of time.
Prayer walks.
And then ask the Holy Spirit where to go and what to do.
Yes.
And it's the same in a spinning class.
Yes.
It's the same, you know, when I'm on a ride along.
Yeah.
Or just out with my kids at dinner. You know what I mean? And so it's just, it's stepping into God's mission.
Yep.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because, and we need people from all walks of life. And so a lot of this is equipping. I'll tell you a funny story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, that first responder, he told us that he wanted to get baptized, okay, him and his girlfriend. Mm. It was really cool. Mm. Happened this last week. And so we did. Had another gentleman who's a first responder. I know he's a good friend of mine now. I said, I'd like for you to baptize him, because they were very good friends. And he said, sure. I think he expected me to be out in the water with him, telling him what to say and what to do. And I did all that in a class with him, and you know, privately.
Right.
But I showed up in a pair of pants, kind of like these. And he said, "I thought you were going to be out here." I said, "No, I'm in pants on purpose. You can speak from the heart. Get out there." And he was, you know, it was a moment for him. I was like, "You got this, bro. You got this."
And he
did it perfectly. I mean, way better than I could have ever done.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
And
that's the thing, is equipping the people of God,
reminding
them they have the Spirit of God, because we're the priests of the believer.
We do the things of God.
Yes, that's right.
We're the priests of the believer.
Yes.
And so, you know, he went out there, expertly baptized that couple. And, I mean, you got a smile on his face a mile wide.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And that's awesome, right? When we take steps of obedience, that's what brings joy.
Amen.
That's
what brings joy.
I do that in my congregation. I pick different people who do reading. Do that, because these are all 55 and over.
Uh-huh.
Most of them are much older than 55.
Yeah.
And I get them to do readings and to get them to participate.
Right. Yes.
To be part of what's going on.
Yes.
We had communion last week, and I wear a stole for communion. And I asked them, I said, anybody know why I wear this? And they all looked at me like, duh. I said, I wear it because it represents you. I am not doing this. We are doing this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, their eyes lit up. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
They love inclusion.
Yes.
So what you're doing, that's great. They love to be included in what's going on.
Yeah, it was funny yesterday because we had two different guys do it, and it was out at the beach, and it was wild. The water was wild. Yeah. All four of them guys were swimming for their life. You know, it was funny.
I did a baptism in the swimming pool at our 55 and over. Yeah,
it's wild sometimes.
It's a lot better in a swimming pool. Oh, yeah,
that's true.
I've done ocean before.
When you're sharing that, Jonathan, which I'm very much in line with that in terms of delegating, everybody gets involved. You know, God has a plan for everybody, but Ed and I, as pastors, I don't know if you agree with me or not on this, Ed, but I have a suspicion that in many seminaries that, and let's face it, the devil has strongholds in the church. He does.
Mm-hmm.
Including where you teach people how to be pastors. And I myself know this and experienced this in my seminary. Finally gave name to this demonic presence. I'm going to call it the demon of micromanagement. And it has been imparted to many of our peers over the decades.
Absolutely.
And it grieves me to know of churches where the pastors can't delegate authority. They have to put their fingers on everything. And when that happens, one of the first things you notice is those churches aren't thriving. Because the pastor is made dependent on them. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You can do a car wash to raise money for the youth. You can do a rummage sale. You can do a bake sale.
Right.
But all important ministry rests with me. Now, there's nothing in the scriptures and the gospels about that.
Nope.
If anything, Jesus, even while he was on earth, and Luke records this so wonderfully in the 9th and 10th chapters of his gospel, he sends first the 12 out to do ministry. What he's doing. And yeah, fear and trepidation, but they go out and the Spirit of God is with them and they come back with great reports.
Right. That's right.
But then in Luke 10, 72 go out. Well, who trained the 72?
Exactly.
The 12.
That's right. 12.
And, of course, Jesus was there, but they took the training up because Jesus wanted his church to know, don't depend just on me. Yeah, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that you can be empowered. You can know what to do.
Yep.
You can have the power to do what I'm doing. But, and this is pastors, if you're listening, I want you to question your own values, spiritual values about discipleship, because you can't do it all. And if you're doing it all, then your people are starving spiritually.
Absolutely.
And
well,
I
think that's important point you made. And it's also the difference between teaching and training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Teaching is obviously it's knowledge, and there's a lot of value in that. I've been blessed over my life to be in good churches that preach the word, and I know you have. But training teaches a skill, and it helps you when you don't know what to do, and it kicks in when you're terrified. And that's important, you know, because all of our military first responders deal with that stuff too. But when I meet guys, and I met a guy like this a couple of weeks ago, I don't believe he was a military first responder, but I was just a guy, and I'm talking to him, and I was just, you know, He's got a vibrant walk with Jesus. He loves the Lord. He's got a vibrant desire for the word. It's like, dude, where you go to church at? You know? Crickets. It's like, well, you need to be involved in a community of faith in your local church because, you know, and you know, it's important to have friendships and not just one or two.
Right.
You need to have several because what if somebody's sick? What if somebody can't meet with you that day when you're really feeling low or whatever? And I try to encourage a lot of these, you know, families. Because when we would PCS in the military, you know, that's how we'd find our community. We'd join another church somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
That's how it
works. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're kind of at a point we need to take a break.
Okay.
So let's do that and put some music in the break. Because while you talked about, you mentioned Awesome God, and so I figured why not hear Rich Mullins singing Awesome God. I love that tune. We're going to have that in a few of our promos, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
sky was starless in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, we had a little music there. I love that. Awesome God.
Amen.
Really, Holy Spirit bumps, you know, start.
That's awesome. God. Awesome God loves you too.
Yeah, well, amen. Amen. It goes both ways. Yeah. But anyway, we're back with Jonathan Dobbs, Walking with Warriors, is a missionary to first responders, military. And God sends him other places to do mission work. So he has a wonderful opportunity to bring the gospel to a lot of places. During the break, one of the things had come to me, and I wanted to ask Jonathan to respond to it, is in the last few years, I think it became prominent during the George Floyd riots and stuff like that, and particularly in the blue cities, where the defund police movement began to emerge. It is peculiar to the Democratic Party and those that follow their tenets and their other narrative, the narrative of the left. It seems to be counterintuitive in terms of big cities, especially the big blue cities that have much more crime and need, you know, police presence and activity in a big way. And yet, at least during the first few years after that, some of these big cities did defund the police to some degree.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The thrust behind the defund police movement, at least in my way of interpreting things, was ultimately to completely get rid of police, replace them with, I don't know,
psychologists,
yeah. Right. Yes, as if that's going to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the criminal community isn't going to sit down for several sessions, you know, and
that's right.
Oh my gosh, my whole life has changed.
Now, if they sat down and listened to the gospel, that could do it.
They're but probably going to mug the guy that comes to
mug the guy, right, you know. Let me steal your wallet and your Beamer, okay? But anyway, the point being that this has to have had an impact on those who, in law enforcement, who are dedicated to that field of endeavor, and that even many who are believers just see it as a mission themselves. I just wanted to talk, if you can, to talk into that. There's a demonic side. This is demonic activity in our nation. Mm-hmm. And even though we here, this is not a blue state, not a blue county, and that we don't see a lot of this happening, but still it has to have an impact on first responders, mostly law enforcement in general. Any comments you can make on that?
Well, I would agree with you. I think that it is demonic. My estimation, you know, no matter how you interpret the word, we're in the last days of the church. I mean, you mm-hmm. read that out of Peter, mm-hmm. you know. And in the last days, we're going to have lawlessness, right?
Amen. Yes.
And so there's a high level of lawlessness. And we just know from the Bible that God is a God of not a God of chaos, but a God of peace.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And order.
And a God of order. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's where I was going. Yeah.
Sorry.
And no, you beat me the punch. It's great. And so God's not going to, you know, invite people in a society to go into chaos, because that is flies in the face of everything that he's about.
Amen.
But it makes no common sense if we defund police.
Right.
I sat, told you on the break, in front of our own, you know, county commissioners, and in front of the microphone, and communicated our very basic order of business in the county is to fund, you know, the public safety and the fire rescue mm-hmm. folks, because they are the backbone of how we respond to any crisis, any yes. problem in our community. And if it's your kid, if it's yourself in a accident or, you know, a bank robbery, mm-hmm. you want the best and the brightest right there on the scene to help you.
Amen.
And they are highly smart people. Mm-hmm. These guys are motivated, they're yep. well-trained, and they care.
Yep.
But they have to deal with a lot of very difficult circumstances.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of this is politics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yeah. a lot of this is just bringing negativity and evil into this. But what we're talking about is good, hardworking Americans, people who really are trying mm-hmm. to do their best in sometimes very hard circumstances. They have to yes. deal with homelessness.
Yeah.
They have to deal with drugs and people who are very strong criminal cartel type people. Sometimes they're dealing with shysters. Sometimes they're having to laugh because they're having to deal mm. with a really funny situation, and that's mm. good.
Yeah.
But they don't know what they're going to get with the next phone call.
Right.
Yeah.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't right. care if you're talking about fire rescue or police.
That's right.
And some of those things, you can go from something that may be more light, and then all of a sudden they're blazing 90 miles an hour down. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a high level of mm-hmm. discipline, a high level of character.
Mm-hmm.
If these poor guys, a couple in our region, have lost friends on the force, they were shot by criminals,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to lose a friend like that and to know they died and to be in pursuit, mm-hmm. to have the intestinal fortitude, to have the awareness, to have the discipline to not put your hands on that person and harm them,
mm-hmm. yes,
that is professionalism.
Absolutely.
That, the highest level.
That is character at the highest level.
Amen.
Because that's controlled strength.
Absolutely.
And that's what I see in our Lord, right? Now, that doesn't
Amen.
Mean all of them are Christians. Amen. But that's still a character trait we need to appreciate.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And a listener, if you may have had a thought, you might want to call in and ask a question of Jonathan or make a comment. You can do that. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And there should be somebody out there to answer the phone. But if it doesn't answer, I'm going to run out there and answer it.
Gotcha.
So don't hang up. Okay. All right. Back.
Well, I think, too, this a lot of this work, it deals with the mission of God, and we were talking about it earlier, mm-hmm. And I think it starts with your family, and it starts with your marriage, and then it works its way out into your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
yes.
your region, and then, you know, overseas. And so some of the work we do is not just here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you alluded to in the beginning of the break. We do work in overseas in Asia. And a lot of this is just trying to learn to help people in another context
mm-hmm.
Who are church planters, pastors, you know, people who want to see the gospel grow.
Amen.
And so, You know, we have people with that heart here, and we have people with that heart over there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more encouraging than to spend time with people who are all in from a different context.
Absolutely.
Yes, very much so.
Because they deal with persecution, and they deal with difficulty. And I'll tell you a quick story. Yep. There was we were getting off an airplane, going to a training back in November, and there was a leader who all he was doing was he was having a Bible study at his house. I'm sure you've done one of those before, probably, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, boy.
So they had more than 500 villagers surround this particular guy and his wife in their gathering, and
wow.
they beat them within an inch of their life.
Yep.
Okay? And they asked me, oh, my goodness, that morning after we found out about it, to give 45-minute talk on persecution. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? I know more about brain surgery than that. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
You know? It's like, right.
And so I let Paul and Timothy talk about, you know, persecution out of the word. But really, we talked about war fighting and readiness and the importance, you know, of those things. And they got this guy on Zoom that same day, okay, that we were talking about. It had only been like a day or two since this had happened. And that guy got on there. He can't even open his eyes. His eyes have been beaten shut. And he's saying, don't stop. Accelerate what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is at hand. He's coming. And he has his reward with him. And the whole time he's doing it, his hands like this with his finger out, and his wife, I can see her in the background. She's shaking her head in agreement, even though she just went through the same mess he did. And there was a couple in their group who grabbed him and got him out of there. Now, how you do that with hundreds of people after you, I don't know. But they're having to deal with this type of evil and nonsense in their country. They are trying to kill Christians in other nations.
Yes, for sure.
And they have to suffer. So it costs a lot to live for the name of
Jesus. And we think in this country that we understand persecution.
Well, I don't. No, I'm just being really honest.
Yeah. I don't either.
Experience it. And I'm grateful that I haven't, but I will say this. God is with us in this fight. Mm-hmm. It ain't over yet.
Yep.
But like David said, this is a fight between good and evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes there's different fronts in the war.
Yeah.
Some places the enemy is very overt.
Yep.
Other places he's very covert.
That's right. We don't fight against flesh and blood.
That's right.
No, we don't.
That's right.
Jesus even said, you think they hate you? Mm-hmm. How much more do they hate me?
Exactly.
I know it.
Yeah. But we serve him. We represent him. So it's that.
Amen.
In
guilt by association.
In the field of psychology, they call that transference.
Yep.
The transferring anger.
Yep.
You're angry at somebody, but you can't get to them, so you get to someone that represents them. And it's just what it is. I, again, remind you, if you want to call, there's still time to call in. 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Or if you're in your car and you have to keep your hands on the wheel, you can't. But your link, your phone is synced through your Bluetooth. You can ask Siri or Google to call WCNO 89.9 FM Palm City, and I'm sure you'll get through. Let us, early on, you kind of alluded to what Walking with Warriors does, but tell us, how did Walking Warriors emerge as a ministry? Who got it started, and what was the original vision, and how has that vision developed today?
Yeah, so friends of mine named Michael and Bryn Harris, they live over in the Tampa area. This was something that they had on their heart for a number of years, and I believe it was around the 2016 or 17 timeframe. They made it into a 501c3, but they continue to have a lot of rewarding work over there with, like, the Tampa Police Department, the Fire and Rescue over there, and many other units. Mike was a Green Beret. He retired from Special Operations Command over there. Has a wealth of knowledge when it deals with just how, you know, trauma, post-traumatic stress, and things like that. But I think it came from a deep regard for what happened from 9/11, because he has a lot of friends who went through the Twin Towers and still live, and they can tell, they have personal testimonies over what they experienced and things that are hard to even talk about, you know. But the thing about Mike and Bryn that I've really appreciated over the years, and, you know, they're busy and we're busy, so we don't talk as often as I wish we did, but we have a gospel handshake. And they let me, you know, use their banner to fly for Walking with Warriors over here on this coast. But they are all about the gospel. They Amen. Love the Lord mm-hmm. Jesus.
Praise God.
They got their kids involved. They're out there trying to show the love of God. And every event they do, they'll do big events sometimes mm-hmm. where they'll feed people and have, you know, the mayor there and different things like that. And it's all about Jesus. It's about the gospel, and it's about, you know, putting your faith in him. And mm-hmm. so that's something I've greatly appreciated about them over the years. And they're mm-hmm. great people, and it's a great organization.
Amen, yep. amen. And you're amen. A good representative of the ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And which leads me to say, and I know that your income is it's through donations through the ministry.
It is.
And you're 100%, hopefully you're 100% funded, or you're working on building that. But that's where your income comes from. And so I want people to know that they can donate to a donation that will come to you to enable you to continue this work.
Okay.
And to keep your family. So how may they do that?
I think the best way is I can give my email address.
Sure.
And then if anybody has an interest, they can reach out. And I'd love to connect with anybody or to explain further what we do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But
yeah.
It's J-A-N-D, L as in Lima, and then my last name, Dobbs, D-O-B-B-S, at proton.me. So J-A-N-D-L. D-O-B-B-S at proton.me.
That me is an M-E?
M-E. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's probably the best way. And then, you know, I'd love to communicate with anybody who has interest.
Amen. And I'm hopeful that, you know, many of listening today are that the Lord has touched their heart to be particularly focused on sustaining you and enabling you to keep doing what you're doing.
But also if there's a pastor or somebody who's a member of a local church and they have a desire to build a team of folks mm-hmm. who can reach their community,
mm-hmm.
we also train churches on how to have gospel conversations. And so Ooh. We would love yeah. to do that with big or small groups. We've done that before and try to help even like youth programs and kids. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome.
And they can also make arrangements for that through by contacting your website, I mean your email.
Yeah. Yeah,
so J and L Dobbs at proton.me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because this is mission work, and it may not be with first responders, but our county, our community, our Treasure Coast needs mm-hmm. Christ. And it's going to take Amen. A whole lot of workers, and fishes get caught with lots of lines in there. So we need a lot of people fishing.
Amen. And, you know, most pastors realize that that their congregation may be doing a lot, but there's always more that can be done if they partner with other Christians yeah. in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
right.
so encouragement for local pastors who are listening, or maybe not a pastor, but you know, or you're in your heart, you know that this is an area that God wants your pastor to be aware of, and you can go mm-hmm. see them, call them, or even next Sunday go and say, hey, I just heard on the radio about Jonathan Dobbs and Walking with the Warriors, mm-hmm. and I think we need some kind of ministry like that here.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you, Jonathan, if there's anything like this, or if you have been able to penetrate into our surrounding counties. I know you're very effective here in Martin now. You're pretty well rooted here.
Right.
What about West Palm Beach? What about St. Lucie County? Have you had any interest from other chaplains that would be interested in coming alongside, partnering with you?
I have had other interests, especially in St. Lucie. And I have members of the Sheriff's Department, West Palm Beach. You know what I mean?
Beautiful, yep.
And
yep.
then my son, he's a firefighter here locally, and he has relationships with a lot of other people.
Great.
So I do a lot of this through relationships. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
so
yeah.
it's not sometimes it's formal, where I'll sit mm-hmm. down with the administration and the leadership, and we'll talk about something if there's a way to serve them. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's informal, where we have mm-hmm. a men's group, or we'll do a Bible study, or we'll do a one-on-one training.
Yep.
Like I'll be training with another guy. He's a fire rescue guy. In about an hour, I'm going to be meeting up with him, talking to him about mission work. That's really mm-hmm. what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to go on a mission trip. He works every day.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the things I want to see him be fruitful.
We're all missionaries.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And we all have a witness.
Yeah.
And we get a chance to use it every day.
Now, speaking of, you know, we don't cover 14 complete counties, but we do broadcast into mostly the South Florida, all the South Florida counties, and portions of
some in the periphery of our coverage area. So if you're down in, you're up in Brevard or down in Broward or Dade, Miami-Dade area, or wherever you are, you're hearing this and you're saying, well, that's great. They're up there on the Treasure Coast, but I may be interested in getting involved in something like this or starting something. They can get in touch with you through that same email address.
Matter of fact, I had a team that we started down in North Miami Shores.
Great.
This was couple of years that I was down here as a missionary. Beautiful. And did it with kids and with families. And we do it with the, all of the approval from the senior pastor and stuff like that. And so he'd be out there with us, and we'd be out there reaching people in the streets on a Friday night.
Great.
And we'd
Hallelujah.
Do it every Friday night. We'd be out there. So, it really depends. I can't be everywhere, of course, but we will schedule things appropriately, make sure that we make time for those who are available.
Well, I think specifically the Spirit already knows who they want to connect to whom. So there are people listening right now that Spirit of God may very well be already inspiring you to not just try to get some kind of ministry like this started, but to get a hold of Jonathan. Because of the particular relationship he wants to build between you and Jonathan, and the commit and the community that he is a part of. I'm just saying this directly. This is the time to move.
Yes.
Amen.
If God's put it on your heart, I find this for myself. I don't hear God saying, "Well, just spend several months, maybe a couple of years, praying about it." No. I'm putting it on your heart because I want you to do it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if that's you, you're listening, that's you, then get in touch. JNLDobbs@proton.me, M-E.
Yes.
And get in touch with him.
Well, I think it's easy, at least for me, sometimes to get overwhelmed by what's going on in the world, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's the stuff in Iran or some of the political things that you described earlier. Mm-hmm. It's easy to find the negative, I think. And for me... I'm not the most optimistic person. I'm trying to be every day.
Sure.
But the thing is, we get a chance to bring Christ into every single day, every single opportunity that we have. And we only have so much time.
Right.
I thank God for the little things in life, like being able to get up in the morning, get a cup of coffee, go to the bathroom of my own power and strength. Because why? There's people in the hospital who
can't do that.
Right. Yes.
It's a blessing. So I want to learn to be grateful.
Yes.
And I don't want to be overwhelmed by my circumstances. As my wife says, I want to be overwhelmed by who God is.
Amen.
I can be overwhelmed by him, I'm going to have optimism and a hope for today and for my future. And, none of these headlines hold anything on me. And so I just want to trust in him in a fresh way today, because I can get overwhelmed too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, God knows who he's working with him. We're all human.
That's right.
We have our limitations.
Don't you hate being human?
Yeah, well, but hey, it's the only game in town, God has nobody else. And that's good. I love that. God knows my limits. That's because why he gives to me his Holy Spirit unlimited. So even in the worst, when I'm down and out, when my energy's gone, but I still have to stand up and serve the Lord and share the gospel,
amen,
he's going to make sure I can do that.
Amen.
And that's not just me. It's everybody.
Jonathan, you were going to say something. I didn't
mean
to.
No.
But I woke up to this verse.
Do it.
Okay, so I just checked the verse really quickly, the verse of the day on the
Matthew
YouTube
9.
Before I go into my Bible reading. But he said,
Yes.
You read it.
I did.
Okay, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.
Amen.
I just want to speak to people who've been Christian for a long time. I've been a Christian over 20 years. But are we intentional, or are we so settled in our going to church, having our Christian friends, doing our own life, having a family? Are we intentional about reaching out? We talked about the Oikos map before the program.
Yes.
Can you talk about Christians have to be intentional about reaching the harvest. Yeah. The harvest is not only wherever it may be, in Asia, in Africa. It is in our backyard.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So talk about the Oikos map really quickly and how we can pray to be intentional in who are in our different spheres of influence.
Well, I think I mentioned when I first got on the radio today, I've been in a season of long prayer for several years now, just for God to move. And, you don't see a lot of movement sometimes when you're praying for something.
Yeah.
And Oikos in Greek is it really deals with family or your network of people.
Yep. It's not just a yogurt. It's so community.
That's right. And so everybody has somebody that you know, you know, in your family or your friend network. And some of those people are far from God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so as we begin to pray, and that's what a prayer network is about.
Yes.
And we pray for our oikos, pray for our family, our friends. But heart prayer, really get into a spirit of prayer for them.
Amen.
Doesn't have to be hours, but just regularly praying for them. And then systematically begin to pray and share the gospel and share your testimony and just invite them to believe. Some of those people will believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some. I'll tell you a quick story. This happened in the last week and a half, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy, I'll call him D, okay? He was at his house and he had his dog messed up something in his house. He was being in a season where God had been drawing him, and this dog was cowering because he thought he was in trouble. He said he's never, you know, he's never gotten mad at his dog or done anything he shouldn't with it, but the dog was afraid, and he's like, I would never hurt you. Mm-hmm. You're my, you know, my friend. I love you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, he recognized the love of God.
Amen.
Wow.
In that moment, he realized that Jesus was not his king. He chose to make Jesus the king of his life, and the tears started flowing.
Wow.
Why do I share that? We are at war.
Yes.
Amen.
And it's a spiritual war.
Amen.
Yes.
But we're not alone.
That's right.
And so that guy was led to Christ by the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. Not by a human being.
Yes.
And that's the thing is we are with God in this. And if we want to be wowed or overwhelmed or encouraged in a mighty way, it has to be in a spirit of prayer. But know he can intervene at any point. He might save the most lost person you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And they might be the one who leads the fight.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Against evil. So I just want to encourage our listeners.
Yeah.
We are not alone. And he's coming soon.
Yeah.
Amen. He is.
Yes. And I can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Because I love to tell people we're living in the outskirts of the second coming.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
It's That's not right. going to be too much longer.
Not much longer.
So praise God, you know. Maybe before next tax time. I don't know. It's up to God. I'm just kidding. Yeah. But,
well, if you look at it, just being really practical, the country of Israel is now, the people of Israel are in their land.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're the only state that I've ever heard about that liquidated, they were no longer a country, and then they became a country again in their own sovereign land using their culture, their language.
Yeah.
It's the same people.
Amen.
And so that was a prophetic, you know, fulfillment that we happened near our day. We weren't alive when it happened. 1948 was a long time ago, but it was very near to our day. And so all of the fulfillments in Jesus's first ministry were literal fulfillments. Mm-hmm. And he's literally fulfilling his word in our day. And so we just got to open our eyes and see it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He's with us in this.
He is.
Yep. Amen.
Well, I have to say, this is one of the least fun things that I have to say as a producer is our time is running out.
Okay.
I'd love to have more time.
Sure.
And in more ways than one.
In more ways than one.
Our time is running out.
But I do know this, Jonathan, you'll be back with us at some point down the road, and you'll have so much more to share, and it'd be God's for such a time as that.
Yeah.
But thank you for being with us.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Oh, man, this is God's thing, you know.
I think next time Jonathan comes, it's been a long time since you've done it. You need to share your personal story.
Yeah.
Of the things that happened to you.
People need to hear that.
And how you overcame.
Okay, and I can bring my best friend. My wife can come.
Would you? You know, seriously, we'll set up a date at some point down. But you bring your wife.
I will.
Well, we have actually 8 seconds to say thank you for listening in. God, join us next week, same time, and yes, same station. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.